This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sha'ban is already a month that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is a forgotten month. And so the coronavirus Sha'ban is going to be, you know, extremely forgotten. Obviously, you know, people will definitely not pay attention to this month with everything that's going on. As everyone is talking about, how are we going to plan for Tarawih? How are we going to plan for Ramadan? Are we going to have Eid indoors, outdoors? What's going to happen? People are already overlooking this blessed month that's right at our doorstep right now, and we need to make use of it. So to recap, inshallah ta'ala, and then I'll get back into the full subject, the name Sha'ban, just like all of the names in the calendar, comes from one of two things. It's either weather or war. Everything in the calendar, if you go to my series on the 10 days of the Hijjah, you'll find that I go through the namings of each month. Every single month is named after weather or war or both. And so when it comes to Sha'ban, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions one of two possibilities. He says that one of the reasons why it would be named Sha'ban, لِتَشَعُبِهِمْ فِي طَلَبِ الْمَاءِ, because people would go out and they would carve out their wells to prepare their water supply for the month of Ramadan. The month, the first Ramadan came in heat. It referred to the thirst of people. And so the month before was a chance to, and I don't want to use the word hoard, because hoard is not a good word right now in particular, but to collect their water supply, prepare themselves, inshallah ta'ala, for the moment. So that's the first possibility that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala mentions. The second one, he says that, awfil gharat, that people would rush to attack each other in the month of Sha'ban. They would descend upon each other in the month of Sha'ban in war. Why? Because Sha'ban comes after the month of Rajab, which is a month that all fighting was to cease. Rajab is the fourth of the sacred months, and because all fighting would cease in Rajab, all of the tribes were waiting for Rajab to end so they could pick their weapons up and they could attack one another again. So he says that that's the second possibility. And there's a third possibility that some of the scholars mentioned other than Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah. They say that Sha'ban in the Arabic language refers to anything that is placed between two significant things. And so by virtue of the significance of the two things that's placed between, people lose sight of its importance. And so Sha'ban being placed between Rajab and Ramadan is like a valley, a sha'b. A valley separates two plots of land, two significant pieces of land. So Sha'ban gets lost in between Rajab and Ramadan, and certainly that has spiritual significance as well. From a historical perspective, Sha'ban is also the month in which Ramadan was legislated. It was the second year after Hijrah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that the month of Ramadan is the month in which guidance was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in fact, of course, the month of revelation to all of the prophets of the past. Before, if you read Surah Al-Baqarah, the verses of fasting were referring to ayyam al-ma'dudat, to some specified days that were mandatory for the Muslims. And then once Ramadan came, those days became nawafil. They became voluntary days of fasting. So Sha'ban is virtuous in that the second year after Hijrah, the month of Ramadan was legislated in the month of Sha'ban. And the second thing is that it's the same month in which the Qibla was switched from Jerusalem to Mecca. And that had an important significance that was very significant to the psyche of the Muslims that had just dealt with the Hijrah, just dealt with the migration. And as they had left Mecca and longed for Mecca, including the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jal turned their faces towards Mecca in a way that allowed them to connect in a beautiful way. So these two things happen in the first Sha'ban in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with its spiritual significance. So what are some of its virtues? Number one, it's a month of fasting. And typically people lose sight of the fasting in this month because, again, we're thinking about Ramadan. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast until one would say that he would never stop fasting. And then he would abandon fasting until one would say that he would never fast. Meaning that, generally speaking, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would fast these long periods of time And you would think that he was never going to stop fasting. And then sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would not fast any of the voluntary days or any days outside of the periods of fasting to where you thought he would never fast again. Then she says, radiallahu ta'ala anha, I never saw the Prophet ﷺ fast an entire month outside of Ramadan. Okay, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ صِيَامَ شَهْرٍ إِلَّا رَمَضَانٍ. I never saw him fast the entire 29 or 30 days of a month, except for the month of Ramadan. وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ أَكْثَرَ صِيَامًا مِنْهُ فِي شَعْبَانٍ. And I did not see him fast any month after Ramadan more than the month of Sha'ban. So again, Aisha says that the Prophet ﷺ never fasted an entire month outside of Ramadan. But the month that he fasted most after Ramadan was Sha'ban. And the Prophet ﷺ specifically expressed a love for fasting that month. It was a mahabba. It was a desire that he had to fast that month. As in another narration in Sunan al-Nasa'i that's also authentic, Aisha radiallahu anha says, كَانَ أَحَبَّ الشُّهُورِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ يَصُومَهُ شَعْبَانَ بَلْ كَانَ يَصِلُهُ بِرَمَضَانِ. She said that the most beloved of months, or the month in which the Messenger of Allah loved to fast more than anything else, was Sha'ban. Indeed, he used to join it to Ramadan. Now, used to join it to Ramadan here means it was as if it was connected to Ramadan because of the amount of fasting that the Prophet ﷺ would do in that month of Sha'ban. So it was as if it was connected to Ramadan, as the Prophet ﷺ continued from fasting the majority of the month of Sha'ban to fasting all of Ramadan. Now the question becomes, why? What is the wisdom? How much of Sha'ban should we fast? What are some other practices that we can undertake in Sha'ban? And what are some things that relate to us specifically in this time, in the coronavirus era, as we're, you know, generally speaking, quarantined and not able to go out and do the things that we would typically do? So the first thing we take is from a question that the Prophet ﷺ was asked directly about why he fasted Sha'ban so much. And understanding the why of Sha'ban helps us understand how we should structure our fasting accordingly. Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he says that I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why is it that you fast more in Sha'ban than any other month? And this was, as the scholars say, aslub ta'ajjub. He was amazed, he was shocked. And what was implied in the question of Usama ibn Zayd was that you seem to give this month so much importance, but you have never preached of its virtue. So this is really interesting. Usama ibn Zayd is noticing that the Prophet ﷺ did not command the companions to fast Sha'ban, and he did not preach specifically about the virtues of fasting Sha'ban. But in his practice, Usama ibn Zayd, being the son of, the adopted son of the Prophet ﷺ, Zayd ibn Haritha, who of course after Tabanni, after adoption in the sense of being named after the Prophet ﷺ was prohibited, still was like a grandson to the Prophet ﷺ. Usama said, I've seen you and you're fasting this entire month, it seems. But though you're practicing that, you're not preaching of its virtues to the companions. So why is it, Ya Rasulullah, that you seem to give this month so much importance? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَلِكَ شَهْرٌ يَغْفُلُ النَّاسُ عَنْهُ بَيْنَ رَجَبٍ وَرَمَضَانٍ, that this is a month that people neglect between Rajab and Ramadan. So this is a month that most people have become heedless of. People don't recognize the importance of this month because it's lost between Rajab and Ramadan. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُوَ شَهْرٌ تُرْفَعُ فِيهِ الْأَعْمَالُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is a month in which the actions are presented, the deeds are presented to the Lord of the worlds. فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. So I love that my actions would be presented to the Lord of the worlds while I am in a state of fasting. So this is a powerful hadith, and it gives us two layers to really unpack about the gems of this month of Sha'ban. Especially, again, forgotten, you know, the most forgotten Sha'ban of all time, which might be the coronavirus Sha'ban, the month of Sha'ban in this era, subhanAllah, and how it's completely being neglected as we think about what Ramadan is going to look like in these times. So let's start with that concept. First and foremost, it is a month that people are heedless of. People become heedless of it. What is the significance of that? The scholars mention that the times to compete for Allah's pleasure most are the times in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgotten. The times that the muhsineen, people of excellence, seek to compete for Allah's pleasure, to really stand out, are the times that most people are neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His rights upon them. And so that's when you compete for Allah's pleasure, when everyone else is in ghafla, when everyone else is in, you know, is heedless. And so, you know, there are times when everyone is doing ibadah, everyone is doing acts of worship. And then there are times when most people are not. And so that's what makes, for example, the night prayer so special. Most people are sleeping. And there you are standing up in front of your Lord and saying, Ya Allah, here I am presenting myself to you. And so these are the times most people do everything but ibadah. And so your ibadah, your worship in these times in particular shows that you really want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah says that this is dalil ala hirsihi ala al-khayr. This is the evidence of your insistence upon doing good, that you want to stand out and do good when most people are not doing anything, right? And that's the best part of the year, that's the best part of the month, and that's the best part of the day, and that's the best part of the night, to compete for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And this is something that we find throughout the day. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Saddidu wa qaribu waghdu wa ruhu wa shay'un min ad-dulja. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to be moderate and sincere and strive for perfection, but be gradual in our pursuit of Allah. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to focus on remembering Allah bil ghadwa wa ruha, which is the morning between fajr and sunrise, and then the evening between asr and maghrib, wa shay'un min ad-dulja, and then a small part of the last part of the night. And the scholars mentioned that the al-ghadwa, which is the very beginning of the day after fajr to sunrise, is where most people are not doing anything, right? And so you distinguish yourself by remembering Allah between fajr and sunrise. And then asr to maghrib, most people are exhausted from the day and they have nothing to do. And, you know, they're just kicked back. And so that's the best time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end of the day, when people are tired, exhausted, and then that's where you choose to distinguish yourself by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also mentions that كانوا يستحبون إحياء ما بين العشاءين بالصلاة ويقولون هي ساعة يغفر الناس عن طاعة الله. That they used to love, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love, particularly to give life to the time between the two Ishas, between the two Ishas. And they would say, because this is an hour that most people are heedless of. What are the two Ishas? The two Ishas are Maghrib and Isha. All right, so one of the, you learn something new, you know, one of the things that Maghrib was called, one of the names of Maghrib was the minor Isha. Okay, so it was the smaller Isha. And so they would call them the two Ishas, Maghrib and Isha prayer as we know it. And so the companions would love to remember Allah between Maghrib and Isha because most people would not at that time. And they wanted to give life to that time. This is also the case when it comes to places. Okay, so the places in which Allah is least remembered, the remembrance of Him is most rewarded. And so that's why you find du'a as-suq, the supplication upon entering the marketplace, right? Why is it so rewardable? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever enters into the marketplace and says, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَهُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That whoever enters into the marketplace and makes this dua, the dua of the suq, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah writes down for him 1,000,000 hasanat and removes 1,000,000 sayyi'at and raises him 1,000,000 darajat, 1,000,000 stations in Jannah, and builds him a palace in Jannah. Why do you get so much ajr, so much good deeds for remembering Allah in that way upon entering the marketplace? Because that's where people are least likely to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? As people are entering into the marketplace and they're thinking about what they're going to buy, they're seeing certain things, and you choose to remember Allah at that time, and so you distinguish yourself in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what makes it so special. And so there are times of the day There are times of the week, there are places that Allah is not remembered as much. And that's where you say, I'm going to be that one to rise to the occasion and to take advantage of this forgotten time or this forgotten place and to show Allah that I'm amongst the few that are competing for his pleasure when most people are actually neglectful of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he talks about this also. Some of the gems of this, he says that ibadah, when people are in ghafla, the worship that's done when people are generally heedless should be done as secretly as possible, should be done as privately as possible. Why? Because these are deeds of ihsan, they're deeds of excellence, so they should be done with ihsan as well. They should be done with excellence as well. And part of ihsan with the voluntary deeds is to actually hide them, right? To hide them. And so he talked about this. He said, you know, when a person is fasting, you know, one of the voluntary fasts, don't make it a point to let people know that you're fasting a voluntary fast, okay? In fact, you know, if people offer you food when you're fasting a voluntary fast, just politely, decline, but don't say, you know, it's because I'm fasting. Try your best to avoid letting people know about your voluntary fasts, okay? Unless it's persistent, like, hey, let's go to lunch. Why don't you want to go to lunch? Why don't you want to go to breakfast with me? And people push, and they might get offended by you not eating with them. And then you make it known to them that this is a ibadah, this is an act of worship. But generally speaking, it's better to say I'm not hungry, or better to just, you know, to politely decline, to say that, you know, I'm busy, whatever it is. Not to lie, but just to not expose that voluntary deed that you're doing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day that most people are not. There are exceptions to this, right? People could make it part of an effort, right? So you say as a group of friends, for example, we're going to fast one Monday, one Thursday, the middle 3 days of the month, and as a way of encouraging people. But generally speaking, the rule is try to hide your private, try to hide those deeds that people are neglectful of as much as you can. Do those deeds of ihsan with ihsan, and part of ihsan is reserving them only for the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many different narrations of this. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, it's narrated in Sahih Muslim, that he said, you know, radiallahu anhu, who amongst you saw that shooting star last night? And then he realized when he said it that people might have thought that he was praying qiyam al-layl, that he was praying the night prayer. And he said that I was not awake praying, he said, but something stung me in the foot. And that's why I was awake to see it. And you find narrations about Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, hiding his night prayer even from his spouse. Dawood ibn Abi Hind, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, rahimahullah, who would fast for 40 years without telling his spouse. He would take the food that she would prepare in the morning, he'd donate it in charity, and then he'd come back at the time of Maghrib, and he would eat as if it's a regular meal, but for him, it was iftar, okay? So this is part of ihsan with those deeds of the fasting of Sha'ban. Don't tell the world that you're fasting these days of Sha'ban. Pick some days and fast, inshallah, and make it a means of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a special way between you and him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, if you wake up fasting, wear perfume and look fresh to ward off any thoughts that you might be fasting. Okay, don't let people know, even in your posture, right? If you know, you're exhausted, you're wiping your eyes, it's 1 o'clock, and you know, what's wrong? Oh, I'm fasting. You know, why are you so tired this morning? Why are you so groggy? Well, I was praying Qiyam all night, so you know, that's why I'm so tired, right? Try to ward off those thoughts that people might expose your good deeds that are deeds of ihsan between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the gems, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best, but it's very interesting and profound that all of the ahadith that are narrated about the Prophet's fasting in Sha'ban are by the people of his household. So it's either his wives or his children or his grandchildren, okay? They're the only ones that narrate the siyam, the fasting of the Prophet in Sha'ban. So even the Prophet was not announcing this to the people in a way that would cause them to do so. However, we do find narrations of Sahaba, of companions, because everything of the Sunnah of the Prophet is meant to be conveyed and meant to be acted upon. And we find narrations of the companions and how they took seriously the fasting of Sha'ban. You know, what's narrated by Lu'lu'a radiallahu ta'ala anha about Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. wa an waliday. May Allah be pleased with him and his parents. That Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, kana Ammar yatahayya li sawmi Sha'ban kama yatahayya li sawmi Ramadan. She said that Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to present himself. He used to celebrate the fasting of Sha'ban the way that he would celebrate the fasting of Ramadan. Meaning if you looked at how seriously he took the fasting of Sha'ban, it was like a person that would be taking seriously the fasting of Ramadan. It's also the month of Quran, but particularly, just like Ramadan is the month where everyone's reading Quran, and Sha'ban is a month that people neglect, Sha'ban was nicknamed by some of the pious predecessors as Shahrul Qurra, as the month of the reciters. Why is it the month of the reciters? Because Ramadan, everyone else is reciting the Quran. Most people, if they recite any Quran during the year, it's going to be in the month of Ramadan. But Sha'ban is the time that the reciters prepare themselves for the recitation of Ramadan, right? In one of two ways. Either they're leading the people. Okay, so if you are a hafiz that leads in Taraweeh, which by the way is the most difficult job, subhanAllah, in the world, is to lead the people in Taraweeh as a hafiz. Why? Because people will jump on every single mistake that you make. Juz amma, people will be screaming from the back of the masjid. We know that you know Surah An-Naba, alhamdulillah. But, you know, as a hafiz, when you're reading, when you're leading the people in Salatul Taraweeh, it's very stressful. And so you need to prepare yourself in Sha'ban, refresh the whole Quran, and then the days of Ramadan, whatever you're going to be reading in the Salah, you prepare yourself with that juz for that day, right? And so it's a month of reviewing the Quran, but for those who are distinguished with the recitation of the Quran. And so you find a narration from Salama al-Kufi, one of the Tabi'een, rahimahullah ta'ala, عندما رأى قومه إذا أقبل عليهم شهر شعبان تفرغوا لقراءة القرآن الكريم فقال شهر شعبان شهر القراء. That he saw his people that when the month of Sha'ban approached them, then they welcomed the month of Sha'ban, تفرغوا لقراءة القرآن. They immediately allotted a portion of it to the recitation of the Quran. And so he said that شهر شعبان, the month of Sha'ban, of the Qurra, the month of the reciters. There's also a narration about Amr ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ شَعْبَانِ أَغْلَقَ حَنُوتَ وَتَفَرَّغَ لِقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ, that when the month of Sha'ban came upon him, he closed his shutters, shut his curtains, and he freed himself to the recitation of the Qur'an. So what's something very practical to give you all as a goal, inshallah ta'ala, as you go into the month of Sha'ban for Ramadan? I want you to take the goal that you have for recitation of Ramadan and do half of that goal in the month of Sha'ban. Again, take the goal that you have for the month of Ramadan and do half of it for the month of Sha'ban. So if you're planning to recite the whole Quran, at least one khatm of the Quran in Ramadan, then do half a khatm in Sha'ban. Okay, do half of the recitation in Sha'ban. Okay, so take that goal. Again, do it from now because we're going into Sha'ban. Start right away. Cut the goal in half, inshallah. And then you never know, by the way, because when Ramadan comes, what might end up happening is that you would have connected yourself in a way that, inshallah ta'ala, you know how to actually push yourself to a greater level, inshallah ta'ala, with the month of Ramadan. Okay. Another very famous saying, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he said that the pious predecessors used to say, in the month of Rajab, you sow the seeds, in the month of Sha'ban, you irrigate them, and in the month of Ramadan, you reap the harvest. So Rajab was the time that you plant the seeds, Sha'ban is the time that you water them, and then Ramadan is where you finally reap the harvest. And so if you missed out Rajab, don't miss out Sha'ban, inshallah ta'ala. If you still need to plant your seeds, it's okay. Plant your seeds, inshallah ta'ala, and irrigate them and get ready, inshallah ta'ala, for Ramadan. Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions another wisdom of the fasting of Sha'ban. He said that one of the things that it does is that it takes away the hardship of fasting and leaves only the sweetness of it for the time of Ramadan. This is a beautiful saying, okay? Sha'ban is tamreen. It's practicing fasting so that your body can get adjusted so that you enter Ramadan biquwwatin wa nashat, with energy and strength, so that you're only tasting the sweetness of the fasting of Ramadan. That is probably the most profound thing, subhanAllah, that you'll take from this. Because if you think about it, the first few days of Ramadan, you're getting used to kicking your habits. You know, if you're a caffeine junkie like I am, you know, you're getting used to ditching your coffee or adjusting your coffee schedule. Whatever it is with your food, with your drink, your first few days are sluggish, right? But if you use Sha'ban to prepare with fasting, what happens is that when the month of Ramadan comes, you can focus on reaping the rewards of the month of Ramadan without the physical tiredness that usually comes with the beginning of Ramadan. So Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says that's one of the wisdoms as well of fasting the month of Sha'ban. The other wisdom is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, which is raf'ul a'mal. When the deeds are presented to your Lord, you want to be in a state of fasting. And this is true not just for the month of Sha'ban, but this is true on a daily and a weekly basis as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that in al-a'mal tu'radu ila Allah, that the actions are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Monday and on the day of Thursday. So I love to be in a state of fasting when my deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so a person wants to be in a state of fasting on a weekly basis on Mondays and Thursdays. One of the wisdoms is because the actions are being presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam connected fasting to the state of the presentation of deeds. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most significant thing about this month of Sha'ban, huwa shahrun turfa'u fihi al-a'mal ila rabbil alameen, فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ, that this is the month in which the deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I love that my deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I am in a state of fasting. فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ, I love to be in a state of fasting when my deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like on a weekly basis where you'd want to fast Mondays and Thursdays and there's the weekly presentation of your deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in the annual presentation of your deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which takes place in Sha'ban, you want to be in a state of fasting as well. On a daily basis, by the way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the raf'ul a'mal, or the presentation, the reporting of the deeds after Salatul Fajr and after Salatul Asr. And that's one of the wisdoms that the scholars mention, of the athkar, of the remembrances, athkar al-sabah wal-masa', the morning remembrance and the evening remembrance being after Fajr and after Asr, is that that is the time of the day that the angels report the deeds back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, there's the daily reporting to Allah, and then there is the weekly reporting to Allah, and then there's the annual reporting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as the inventory of your deeds for the year is being presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to be in a state of fasting, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he also mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast Sha'ban to make up some of the missed voluntary fasts throughout the year. This is beautiful, okay? To make up some of the missed voluntary fasts throughout the year. What is this referring to? A person of ihsan, a person of excellence, does not just make up the obligatory deeds that they miss. They also intend voluntary deeds. And if they miss those voluntary deeds for any reason, they try to make them up. So I'll give you an example. If you sleep through the night and you have the intention to pray Qiyamul Layl, praying Qiyamul Layl is a voluntary deed. It's a rewardable deed. If you sleep through the night and you wake up at Fajr, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will give you the entire reward of that Qiyam, and the sleep was a charity from Allah. Now, a person of Ihsan, though, a person of excellence, is not just going to say, well, you know what, I got my Qiyam and I got to sleep in peace. What would the Prophet ﷺ do if he missed the night prayer? Salama radiallahu anha says that he would make it up between the sunrise and the dhuhr. So the Prophet ﷺ would pray those rak'ahs between sunrise and dhuhr to make up what he missed in the night. So it's like you get double the reward at that point. So with the voluntary fasts, the things that the Prophet ﷺ habitually would do in terms of siyam, or the days that he would fast regularly, if he was traveling or if he was sick and he missed those days, the Prophet ﷺ had a record for himself that he wanted to make those days up as well. He also did this, by the way, with Eretikaf. There was one Ramadan where the Prophet ﷺ spent the last 20 days in Eretikaf because he had missed the prior year 10 days. And so he added those 10 to the next year. So this was the mindset of the Messenger ﷺ, was to make up even the voluntary deeds. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that's one of the reasons why he fasted almost all of Sha'ban, because of that. Another reason he mentions, he says, ta'zeeman li Ramadan, as a means of glorifying Ramadan, the way that the sunnah is prayed before the fard. So the best prayer is Salatul Fajr, for example. And the best sunnah is the sunnah of Fajr. Okay? The sunnah of Fajr. The most beloved of the prayers is Fajr. The sunnah of Fajr is the most beloved of the sunnahs. And so just like you use the preparation of the sunnah to the Fajr itself, he says, ta'zeeman li Ramadan, that one of the ways that Ramadan is honored is that you honor the month before it in Sha'ban. And then, as we already mentioned, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah also restates that he liked to fast when his deeds were presented to Allah, which is also how he would fast Mondays and Thursdays. There's also another wisdom that's given, which is that the Prophet ﷺ was joining his wives who were making up some of their obligatory missed fasts from the previous Ramadan. Joining his wives for making up obligatory missed fasts from the previous Ramadan. So some of his wives missed some of the fasting of Ramadan for whatever reason, that they weren't able to fast in Ramadan, and they were making up those fasts in Sha'ban, and the Prophet ﷺ, as a means of joining them in that khayr, as a means of joining them in that good, decided to voluntary fast with them. So by the way, this is a new term, solidarity fasting, all right? If your spouse was pregnant or was breastfeeding or for whatever reason missed a lot of days of Ramadan, if you can support her, inshallah ta'ala, by fasting with her, then it's a good means of khayr for you, it's a good means of good for you, as well as helping her, inshallah ta'ala, get over the missed fast that she might have as well. So that's one of the reasons as well that's mentioned of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his fasting in Sha'ban. Now, Hafidh ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he continues on this question, which is better, the fasting of Sha'ban or the fasting of Muharram? Because the Prophet ﷺ said there is no month. Remember, there's the practice of the Prophet ﷺ, which is now established by those in his household, that he did not fast any month after Ramadan more than Sha'ban. But then there's a hadith, a saying of the Prophet ﷺ, which is also authentic, that the Prophet ﷺ said there is no month in which fasting is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the month of Muharram, Shahrullah Muharram, the month of Allah Muharram. Okay, so no month after Ramadan in which fasting is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the month of Allah Muharram. And this causes some confusion because it's, well, if the Prophet ﷺ fasted more of Sha'ban than Muharram, then what are we to take here? So Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he says that Sha'ban, as you know, is still better to fast than Muharram because it's like a sunnah al-ratiba. It's like the confirmed sunnahs, the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. So when the Prophet ﷺ says something and he does something, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, clearly the way that he understood his own words, alayhi salatu wasalam, and his own teachings will be manifested in his actions, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so he said that Sha'ban is confirmed to be the month that the Prophet ﷺ fasted the most after Ramadan. But it could be that what the Prophet ﷺ meant was out of the sacred months, out of the sacred months, because the four sacred months are Dhul-Qa'da, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab, that out of the four sacred months, Muharram is the best month as a month, whereas the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, okay, I know I'm speaking too fast, so let me actually slow down. It could be that the Prophet ﷺ was saying that the best month to fast out of the four sacred months was Muharram, even though the best 10 days to fast out of the 4 months would be the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. But as a month, Muharram is superior to Dhul-Hijjah, Dhul-Qa'da, and Rajab in terms of fasting the month of Muharram. So that's one way that the scholars reconciled the practice of the Prophet ﷺ of fasting the majority of Sha'ban with his statement about the blessing of fasting in Muharram. Another reconciliation is that the Prophet ﷺ was saying that Muharram is blessed as a month to fast because it is Muharram. Whereas Sha'ban, it's not that the month itself is so virtuous, it's that the month is so lost, right? It's lost between everything else. And because it's lost between everything else, that makes it more blessed to fast, okay? So that's one of the ways that the scholars reconciled it, that the month of Muharram as a month is more virtuous. The month of Sha'ban as a month is better to fast because of its preceding Ramadan and some of the reasons that I already had mentioned. And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he commented on this as well, and he reconciled. He said, because of the hadith of Aisha, it shows that Sha'ban is the month that is the best month of fasting after Ramadan. Another note, inshallah ta'ala, and then I'll go to particularly fasting the second half of Sha'ban and fasting the last day or two of Sha'ban, and then the 15th of Sha'ban, which is always a fun question for us to get to, inshallah ta'ala. Something very beautiful that Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted more than any other prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted more than any other prophet, including Dawood alayhi salam. Now, why is that significant? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Dawood alayhi salam would fast one day and break his fast the next. So Dawood alayhi salam would fast half the days of the year. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said, if you were to take the amount of days that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted in the year, then it would come out to more than half of the days of the year. Okay, if you were to take the cumulative days of the year that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted, it would certainly surpass half of the year that Dawood alayhi salam would fast as well. Okay, so this is something that's just a beautiful note about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's not just Sha'ban that he was fasting, but really a beautiful practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a habit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fast the majority of the year, if you took it all together. Now, there's one thing to talk about from the fiqh here, inshallah, then we'll go to the 15th of Sha'ban. There's one hadith that mentions that it's impermissible, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade fasting the second half, or discouraged strongly fasting the second half of Sha'ban. So that would mean after the 15th of Sha'ban. Now, that hadith is not as authentic, but there is an authentic hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, do not precede Ramadan bi yawmin aw yawmayn min Sha'ban, with one or two days of Sha'ban in fasting. So don't fast the last day or two, meaning the 29th or the 30th or the 28th and the 29th of Sha'ban, as you go into Ramadan. Now this hadith has to be reconciled with another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ asked Imran ibn Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked him, هَلْ سُمْتَ مِنْ سُرَرِ هَذَا الشَّهْرِ شَيْئًا? Did you fast any of the end of this month of Sha'ban? And surah are the days when the moon is hiding. So it refers to the last day or two of Sha'ban. So in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, do not fast the last day or two of Sha'ban. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is asking, Imran ibn Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, did you fast the last day or two of Sha'ban? And when he said no, the Prophet ﷺ said to fast for 2 days instead of one once you've completed the fast of Ramadan. And this is in Sahih Muslim. What's the reconciliation? The Prophet ﷺ did not want people whose habit is not to fast Sha'ban, okay, or not to fast in general, Mondays and Thursdays or whatever days, to start practicing their fasting in the end of Sha'ban. Okay? So this prohibition of fasting the last day or two of Sha'ban, or in general, the dislike that some of the scholars had based on another narration, which isn't as authentic, of fasting, the second half of Sha'ban, refers to the person who starts to fast in the second half of Sha'ban, not a person who already had the habit of fasting before the second half of Sha'ban came in. So if you're fasting Mondays and Thursdays, if you're fasting the middle 3 days, if whatever it is, that's different. Okay, and that's not only excused from the prohibition or the dislike, but it's actually beloved, as we know from the practice of the Prophet ﷺ himself in regards to the way that he would fast ﷺ continuously throughout the month of Sha'ban, to the point that Aisha said it was as if he was connecting Sha'ban to Ramadan. So this is a prohibition of a person or a dislike of a person trying to suddenly start to practice for Ramadan just a few days before it. So start fasting Sha'ban now in the beginning, inshallah ta'ala. Or pick up the habit of a few days in the beginning, inshallah ta'ala, and you're excused from this. The second part of this is the prohibition that the Prophet ﷺ had on Yom Shek, the day of doubt, which is that a person fasts the last day of Sha'ban just in case it might be Ramadan. And the Prophet ﷺ wanted a break he always wanted a break between the sunnah and the fard, right? So the Prophet ﷺ did not want people to connect the sunnah and the fard as one. And that's one of the reasons for the prohibition here. It also completely takes away from the blessing of welcoming the ahillah of Ramadan, okay? Welcoming the hilal of Ramadan, and treating it as its own separate event. So again, the prohibition is that a person would wait until the end of the month of Sha'ban to start to fast for one of two reasons. Either because then, just a few days before Ramadan, they want to get ready for Ramadan, or because they, you know, it's the day of doubt and it just connects to Ramadan within the last day or two of Sha'ban. And also, some of the scholars mentioned that the strong prohibition on Yom HaShek, on the day of doubt, is that that would basically always render Ramadan 30 or 31 days, right? So it's also a mashaqqa, it's a hardship on the ummah that the Prophet ﷺ did not want to place on us, that always fast the last day of Sha'ban just in case it might be actually a day of Ramadan. Instead, the Prophet ﷺ wanted things to be simple and easy for us, and that we don't connect ourselves to that hardship. So with all of that being said, if you've tuned me out until this point, inshallah ta'ala, fast as much as you can in this month. Prepare yourself by reading half of the Quran that you want to read in Ramadan. And again, the half, by the way, just to be clear, is my recommendation. I'm not saying it's sunnah to read exactly half, but prepare yourself with the Quran for Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And now the 15th of Sha'ban, okay? The 15th of Sha'ban. What is the virtue of this night? Where there's a narration, you know, from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, frequently quoted, that he calls it Laylatul Bara, the day that we are freed from the hellfire. A very weak opinion, by the way, attributed to Ikramah radiallahu anhu, where he's Ikramah rahimahullah, that he said that it's Laylatul Qadr. That's very weak, because as we know, that's in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But what is it about this night of the 15th of Sha'ban, and how do we observe it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic narration, يَطْلُعُ اللَّهَ فِي لَيْلَةِ النَّصْرِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُشَاحِنٍ أَوْ قَاتِلُ نَفْسٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah looks at his creation on the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, and Allah forgives the entirety of his creation. Allah forgives everyone, okay? يَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ. Allah forgives the entirety of his creation, except for a mushrik, someone who associates a partner with him, okay? Or mushahin, someone who has shahna, whose heart is consumed with enmity, so someone who's holding a grudge. أَوْ قَاتِلُ نَفْسِ, another narration which mentions someone who murders someone, okay? So a murderer. And this is obviously the consequence of great shahna, of great hatred in the heart, enmity in the heart of a person, that he would actually take the life of someone else. So again, on that night, Allah looks at the entirety of his creation and he forgives everyone that does not associate a partner with him, that does not carry enmity towards their brother or sister, strong hatred and spite towards their brother or sister, or a murderer on that night. Now, of course, a murderer can be forgiven if they seek forgiveness from Allah, but this is just Allah's beautiful general amnesty that he's given on this night, okay, of the 15th of Sha'ban. This is beautiful for many reasons, and also it has a direct call to action for us. The first thing is that if the Prophet ﷺ said that this is the month, تُعْرَضُ الْعَمَالِ, that the actions are presented to Allah, then this is the particular night that Allah looks at those deeds and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all of them. He cleans your record as you go into Ramadan. Okay? He cleans your record as you go into Ramadan. So you're granted this amnesty. Now approach Ramadan without the burden of your sins, but with the longing of your Creator, longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because your Lord is so merciful that in this month before, halfway through Sha'ban, He looks at the creation and He forgives the entire creation so long as there's no shirk or shahna or qatl. Okay? So no polytheism or enmity or murder. All right? So what's the call to action here? You know, if you're trying to prepare yourself for Ramadan, there's the preparation with the recitation of the Quran. There's the preparation with the fasting. But what about preparing the heart? Nothing consumes the heart and distracts it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a grudge. Okay? Shahna is when you have an obsession with someone. Okay? You hate someone so much that your heart is consumed by that enmity. And this is directly connected, by the way, to the other form of presenting the deeds, which is that the Prophet ﷺ said every Monday and Thursday when the deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forgives the people except for two brothers or sisters that are quarreling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْظِرُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا. Leave these two until they solve their grudge. Leave these two until they remove their grudge. And so this is the annual night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look at the creation and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive everyone without shirk or shahna or qatil. This is the time to really, really think deeply, is that grudge worth me missing out on this incredible reward, right? Do I really want my deeds to not be presented to Allah and to be amongst those people who are not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that night? Is my hatred of that person worth me sacrificing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so seek forgiveness from people. If you've hurt someone, suck it up, remove your ego, call them, seek forgiveness, okay? Remove that grudge. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the one that hurt you as much as you can. Do not keep anything in your heart of hatred or a grudge or envy, because that will directly stand in the way of you receiving the reward of this blessed night of the 15th of Sha'ban. So that hadith is authentic. And just like you're preparing your tongue with qira'ah, with the recitation of the Quran, you're preparing your body with fasting, you're preparing your soul with the remembrance of Allah, you prepare your heart by removing that grudge, inshallah ta'ala, removing that hatred that you have of your brother or your sister, inshallah, so that you can clear the way for the Quran to consume your heart in Ramadan, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the full focus of your thoughts and attention during the month of Ramadan and beyond. Now, how do we mark this night? Is there a special practice to mark this night? Fasting the 15th of Sha'ban is established not because of fasting the 15th of Sha'ban as the 15th of Sha'ban, fasting the 15th of every month, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of every month is sunnah, okay? So fasting the 13th, 14th, and 15th, which are ayyam al-bil, the white days, because the moon is fullest, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, the bright days, fast those days anyway. So yes, by all means, it is sunnah to fast the 15th of Sha'ban as part of the understanding of that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. How else do we mark this night? You'll read the books of Ash-Shafi'i, of Ibn Taymiyyah, of Al-Ghazali, of Ibn Rajab, Ibn Salah, As-Suyuti, so many other scholars who wrote about the general observance of this night. So obviously, if it's a night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has marked as a night that He forgives the entirety of His creation so long as they do not have shirk, polytheism, or shahna, or enmity, or qatl, or murder standing in the way, then obviously you want to be up praying qiyamul layl, reciting the Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, you don't find any hadith that talk about specific ibadat. okay, that talk about specific acts of worship. Just the general idea that this is a night that is to be observed. How you observe it the way that you'd observe any other night, but obviously with the knowledge of that beautiful time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, will forgive us for all of our sins on that night, bi'idhnillah. So yes, by all means, a night of prayer, a night of recitation, a night of remembrance. But you know, a lot of the things that come in, like they had an 11th century bid'ah, which was known as Salatul Alfiyah, to recite 1,000 quruz or to pray this many rak'ahs, or you'll find a lot of things that get passed around to recite on Laylatul Bara. Just avoid that and just wake up, pray, read, fast the day, inshallah ta'ala, because that's something that's established. And again, more than anything else, prepare your heart by removing the grudges from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our hearts to be saleem, to be free of those things, free of those flaws, free of that hatred, free of those impurities as we approach the month of Sha'ban. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepare our hearts for the month of Ramadan by conditioning them properly in the month of Sha'ban. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll go ahead and I'll just take a few questions, inshallah, if I can, and then I'll let you all go. So, jazakumullah khairan. And again, I apologize for the beginning. And one more thing. This next few Wednesdays, so tonight we had our webinar, alhamdulillah. The next few Wednesdays, we're going to have a few special webinars, inshallah ta'ala. So next week, we have a webinar on yaqeen and your community. And that will include our dear brother, Dr. Altaf Hussain, who is the vice president of yaqeen, Sister Tasneem, who runs the curriculum units, the expanded learning, inshallah ta'ala, and others, inshallah ta'ala, to talk about how yaqeen can be used as a resource for your community, and also give some general tips and advice on how to function as a community in the wake of the coronavirus era, obviously, in this pandemic that we're facing right now. So it's very beneficial, inshallah, especially for institutions, communities that are trying to function. How do you think about fostering the important community solidarity, dealing with fundraising, dealing with all of the issues that have come our way? How do you maintain programming in your community, inshallah ta'ala? So please do, inshallah ta'ala, attend next Wednesday, bidnillahi ta'ala, for that program. Then the Wednesday after that, so at the same time, inshallah, we'll have a program on yaqeen and family. We'll have a group of speakers, inshallah ta'ala, talking about how yaqeen can be used by parents to maintain the home in these times. And it's not just going to be yaqeen resources, but we'll also have some experts talk about, inshallah ta'ala, how to maintain tranquility and religion and programming in the home, inshallah ta'ala, as we go through this. And then finally, the week after that, we will have yaqeen and you, where we'll talk about how a person can maintain their own regimen, inshallah ta'ala, throughout the day as we're going through this pandemic. And then the week after that will be the week before Ramadan, inshallah, and we'll have a pre-Ramadan webinar, inshallah, Ramadan prep webinar, inshallah ta'ala. And so what I just want you to do is to mark every Wednesday, inshallah ta'ala, for the next 4 weeks at this time, at 9 p.m. Eastern time, inshallah, 8 p.m. Central. And tune in, inshallah ta'ala. I'll be joining every week, inshallah, along with many wonderful guests in the night, ta'ala, from yaqeen, and also some experts not in yaqeen, inshallah, to prepare us, inshallah ta'ala, going forward. So again, that's going to be next Wednesday. And of course, I'll be logging in every night, inshallah ta'ala, to do the nightly reflection on Facebook Live at the same time, with the exception of Wednesday. So Wednesday is the only night that I won't be doing the Facebook Live reflection, because I'll be here with you, inshallah, for the webinar. Other than that, please do, inshallah ta'ala, join us for that. Now, questions. Firstly, regarding removal of grudges from the heart, what if that person is holding you back from trying to be a good Muslim? So when it comes to a removal of the grudge from the heart, sometimes there are circumstances that make it impossible to actually establish a relationship once again. But there are a few things to keep in mind here. Number one, this doesn't excuse dhulm, oppression. So we don't burden the oppressed by telling the oppressed that you have to reach out to your oppressor. Okay, so if someone's actually been wronged, mazlum, the mazlum is a different case. Okay, the oppressed is a different case. What this is talking about is two people that quarreled and they remove that argument, they remove that barrier, they remove that grudge and that hatred that's been put between them in the process of that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that even in that situation, if the hadith is referring to you, this refers to removal of grudges between brothers and sisters and friends. This doesn't mean that you have to be best friends. Okay, it doesn't mean that you have to now call them every day. It doesn't mean that you have to establish a very involved relationship. But at least you remove the harm that's been done and the barrier that's between you at this point. The third thing is that if you open the door to someone else, but they're not ready to establish that relationship or to move on, at least leave the door open from your end. Let that person know that the door is open from your end, okay? So if they don't forgive you, if they don't want to move on, they want to keep it going, then that's fine. But you let them know, at least from your end, the door is open and the grudge is removed from your heart. Also, by the way, you can sign up for the pre-Ramadan program, inshallah ta'ala, in the link in the comments. Assalamu alaikum, could you clarify the ibadah, the worship we should do and we should refrain from? So again, the idea of worship here is prayer, recitation of the Quran, remembrance. The only worship that I would say that you should refrain from are the very specific types of innovative actions that have been attributed to the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. So wake up and pray Qiyam as you would pray Qiyam on every other night while recognizing the significance of the night. Wake up and read Quran while recognizing the significance of the night. Fast the day while recognizing it's a sunnah to fast the 13th, 14th, and 15th day, inshallah ta'ala. I'll take one more question, inshallah ta'ala, and then I'll go ahead and I will end this. I want to do i'tikaf, but the masjid is closed. What do I do? This was the khutbah that I gave last Friday, by the way, about aniyat as-sadiqa, about the blessing of having a truthful intention. Make the niyyah from now, still, that you want to do i'tikaf. In all likelihood, we probably won't have that opportunity, but let that niyyah be there. So what do you do then if the opportunity does not present itself to you when the last 2 nights of Ramadan come? What you do is you engage in acts of remembrance and worship at home, inshallah ta'ala. So you use the same amount of the night in your home that you would have used in the masjid to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship him with sincerity. And that is your way of proving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your intention was sincere to do those acts of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them from you and I. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all, remove anything from our hearts that stands in the way of his forgiveness, remove anything from our deeds that stands in the way of his forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to observe the month of Sha'ban in a way that prepares us for Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live to see Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us in these times, allow us to have full trust in him and gain the full reward of this while being minimally harmed with everything that's happening around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift this trial from us soon. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Inshallah ta'ala. I'll see you tomorrow on Facebook Live and next week for the webinar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.